Hi, listeners. Welcome to season 7 of our Big Unlock podcast. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm a managing partner here at Big Rio and Demo Consulting. And I'll be your host today, along with Rohit, for the Big Unlock podcast. And today I'm delighted to welcome Shailu Verma, CEO and co-founder of Mila Health. Shailu has built technology businesses at the intersection of healthcare and AI, serving as chief product officer for United Health Group's strategy and innovation, leading product at Amazon Web Services, and previously co-founding Landworth, which was acquired by Reuters. At Mila Health, he's focused on one of healthcare's biggest operational challenges, which is how to use AI agents embedded directly into clinical workflows to automate care coordination and improve patient engagement. So we are really looking forward to an engaging conversation today. And with that, I'll hand it over to Rohit for a short introduction, and then we'll go over to Shailu. Thank you for joining us today, Shailu.
Yeah, thank you, Ritu. Yeah, thank you, Shailu. Super excited to be here. I'm Rohit Mahajan, co-host of the Big Unlock podcast and the CEO of Big Rio. So very happy to have you, Shailu, on the podcast. I'm sure listeners are in for a very delightful conversation. So over to you for your intro. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit and Ritu. It's a pleasure reconnecting on the podcast here. So a little bit about myself. My name is Shailu Verma, and I'm the CEO co-founder of Mila Health. Prior to beginning Mila Health, I worked as a consultant in McKinsey for a short while, started my first company in the computer vision space, which got acquired by Thomson Reuters. And keeping track with computer vision, I was part of the AWS AI computer vision team in 2016, building the first machine learning AI apps, APIs that came out of AWS, and went on then to jump at building the machine learning team at USG. Healthcare has been a very deep passion for me. My wife's a physician. I have two daughters, one of them in med school, one of them working at getting into a med school. So getting a chance to apply technology in healthcare has been a dream. And that's how Mila Health got founded.
Great. We're looking forward to, you know, asking you a lot of questions about that. So let's get started with the first one, Shailu, which is, you know, most of the healthcare industry still thinks of patient engagement as reminders and messaging and, you know, more and more apps that patients have to use. But you've argued that the real opportunity is AI-driven care coordination that actually completes clinical workflows and helps the patient. So what does that shift look like in practice? And why is it so much more impactful than traditional outreach? And like you said, you know, this wouldn't have even been possible like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. But right now with AI, we feel that we finally have a possibility to see this in action. So we would love to hear from your perspective at Mila Health, what you think about this and how is this now becoming possible?
Great perspective, Ritu. So let's go a little deeper into the problem statement. So today, if you look at healthcare organizations, just like you mentioned, they have a patient engagement tool. They have EMRs. They have many different software systems that they have invested in over the period of time. And they connect with each other in a complex web. However, each of these platforms follow their swim lane very narrowly. So patient engagements will do exactly what you said, which is reminders. You, of course, have EMRs, you have payment systems, etc. Unfortunately, the aspect of taking care for a patient, helping them through their care journey, is still vastly done manually. So me, for example, me reaching out to you to bring you in to care for an annual wellness visit or for preparing you for your procedure in colonoscopy, guiding you through your medications, your symptoms, your diet, following up after your colonoscopy to see whether you need another one in 5 years or 10 years. All of these tasks today are still done all manually. And this is a large problem. It's a $334 billion problem. Now, connecting these complex systems, solving many of these gaps that exist in patient care is a hard problem. It was difficult to solve a few years ago with the tools that we had. But now, with the prevalence of AI and particularly large language models, we now have the opportunity to reduce this large amount of manual effort that takes place in giving patients access to care and doing care coordination after their appointments. This can be done through AI. And that is the mission that Mila is on. So to answer your question, Ritu, yes, there are ways to address patient engagement, but there is still many gaps that exist in full patient care coordination. And that is what Mila's solving for.
Great answer, Shailu. Thank you. So, you know, you've said that organizations which are moving fastest with AI are not just buying another point solution. They're actually embedding some intelligence into the system which clinicians already use. So tell us a little bit more about why that distinction is so important. And, you know, what have you learned from actually driving adoption inside these health systems? And how have you got them to, you know, agree to buy like another solution when they already have like a whole range of apps or software that they might be using?
Great point. And as we looked at the landscape of transforming the vast majority of patient care journeys that were done manually, we largely looked at the problem and said, you know, to automate this effectively and to make it really easy for our customers, which is the health system, we needed to build systems that can essentially get embedded in existing software. So it was super important for us. And we took inspiration from companies like AWS, like Stripe, like Twilio, where they have APIs that get embedded in an existing stack and they're easily configurable. So a health system doesn't have to reconnect or rather do the job of connecting Mila to an EMR. It should come embedded and connected with the EMR through the APIs. So in a way, we've built Mila to be completely embedded where you can essentially turn on Mila in literally days and weeks versus months of complex integration. And this way, it becomes part of an existing solution rather than another point solution. And you know, point solution essentially have the problem, of course, the time that it takes to implement, as well as they again become another swim lane that we want to avoid. We really want to get embedded into existing swim lanes and be the interconnectivity between the swim lanes rather than become another swim lane. So very early in our Mila journey, we've built Mila as a set of APIs that any existing software system can adopt and automate across other software systems rather than creating these complex webs of connectivity. To give you an example of how this is so powerful, we today are live in over 300 dental organizations in the US. Each of these dental organizations have an EMR, they have a practice management system, they have a payment system, they probably have a system which verifies insurance. Our APIs are embedded in an existing practice management system that these dental organizations already use. So if they want to adopt AI to automate patient care coordination, all they have to do is in their existing practice management system, literally turn a switch on and say, I want AI to reach out to Ritu, to Rohit, and bring them in for their cleaning that they haven't done in the last year. I just made that up. So an example here where these clinics can adopt an AI to do care coordination, literally with a single click. No EMR integration required. No practice management system required, no phone telephony integration required. It's already built in because the APIs are embedded into the practice management stack. So that's an example, Ritu, of how an API-enabled solution that's easily configurable, that gets embedded into a software stack, scales very effectively and makes it really easy for customers to adopt it.
Yeah, thank you, Shailu. I'll just ask one follow-up question and then I'll let Rohit ask some questions.
Sure.
So I think this was a great answer because repeatedly we've heard from C-suite leaders who come on the podcast that healthcare has no shortage of impressive AI pilots, but very few reach enterprise scale. But from you, we've heard that Mila is now supporting these hundreds of organizations because of this, you know, ease of integration or because it was already built in. So what were some of the other key architectural, clinical, or, you know, organizational decisions that enabled you to move beyond pilots to like real operational deployment?
Great question. And you're right. Today, when I see a lot of healthcare organizations and our colleagues in the AI space, there's a lot of pilot projects going on. And we, of course, have some of them as well. But our enterprise scale largely has happened, as I mentioned, by making it super simple for companies to adopt because it gets embedded into their software stack. And it's, like I said, almost invisible. Like Twilio is invisible in your software stack today.
Right.
And we address problems that are very critical to their needs, and they solve an immediate problem very quickly. So, for example, I'll give you in the context of the dental organization that I just mentioned, they are short-staffed most of the time. They are not able to reach out to their patient panel to bring them in for their care. They're not able to follow up effectively after the care for, is the tooth still is hurting? Do they need another follow-up, et cetera? And a lot of calls get unanswered. They get into an answering machine or they're called over the weekend where somebody needs help immediately. So we've essentially embedded Mila into the practice management stack they already need and solved the real problem of addressing any patient questions 24/7. Patients can call in anytime and change their appointments, create new appointments, ask questions. And more importantly, we've also built systems which bring a human in the loop. So when Mila cannot answer or the AI agent cannot answer, we are able to bring a human in the loop to answer that question. So in a way, it becomes a easily configured, safe, easily implemented solution, which is what enables enterprise scale versus ongoing pilot projects where you have to prove things over and over again. So the basic story is make it simple, solve the real problems, and bring a human in the loop when it's needed. And that's where scale happens.
Great.
Yeah, Shailu, I would like to ask you, as you have scaled your business and launched it, what are some of the core challenges that you have faced as a startup? And what are some of the technical challenges also, you know, not just the business, but also technical challenges that you encountered when you go to such a large variety of practices, some small, some large? How do you do the integrations and any other thoughts on this process?
Sure. To answer the first question, of course, building a startup is not easy. Then building a startup in healthcare is even more complex. And I don't see anything that is uniquely Mila problem. That is just a startup problem. I'm sure, Rohit, you have built many startups and are in a startup yourself. So it's always, get more customers, get more funding, build the product, keep the team motivated and staffed enough to get this virtuous cycle moving. Is a core part of a startup journey. To answer your second question around how do we technically address this problem, this has been a very important tenet that we picked up very early in our journey, particularly being at AWS and then after spending 2+ years at UHG. So the first tenet we said was we will build as an API first product. So it should be white labeled. It should be easily adopted by any software system. It should be very easily configured and built. It should not be a point solution. That is tenet number one. Tenet number two was it should be configurable. So when we make an AI agent, we know that every practice, small or large, when they're bringing in a front desk person, they have their own rules. They have their own 3-inch binder. Mila should be able to adopt that 3-inch binder for each office and adapt to their rules and be easily configured. That was technical challenge number two. And technical challenge number three was we need to make Mila safe and governable. So Mila should be consistent. Mila should be safe. And by consistent, I mean when a patient asks a question of Mila in 5 different ways, Mila should not give 5 different answers. It should be the same answer. It should be a consistent answer. It should be a safe answer. And a health system, small or large, should be able to govern it. These are the three tenets that we set up way before we even wrote a single line of code. And that has held true to where we are today. And I think that is one of the key reasons we have been able to get the success in the penetration that we have at enterprise scale. And I keep making progress there. And that makes it easier for our customers to adopt, easier for our customers to govern and manage, and as well as change in ways that is helpful for them.
Those are great points, Shailu. Those are great pointers. So what are some of the new things that you're working on? You know, all products in the SaaS environment are forever changing. You're always listening to the customers, their feedback, and you're, you know, always adding features, making it better and better. So what are some of the things that customers have been saying early on, or may perhaps even patients as they experience the platform? What are some of the things that are bubbling up to the top and high level, very high level? What are some of the things that you're working on? And let me ask one more question, one more aspect, which is again a curious aspect. It stems actually from the recent launch of all these Chinese models, which are big, you know, coming up to speed, right? And you must be following the news closely. So I'm sure you use LLMs in the mix. So how do you contend with this changing landscape, fast changing landscape, and perhaps the changing cost structures on the back end where using a lot of tokens, perhaps, I'm guessing.
So, and I'll answer both the questions. There's a common thread to both of them. So in the first question that you had asked, technically, I mentioned that we have built the system that can be easily configured and can be governed, i.e. there's an explainability on why did Mila said what Mila said, right? Because we need to control the context of Mila. So we've essentially built a stack that sits on top of large language models. We are large language model agnostic. We flip large language models all the time. And depending on different tasks, we use different large language models which optimize cost and efficacy. So our stack is a neurosymbolic graph that we've built on top of a large language model. And our thesis always has been that in healthcare, we cannot let a large language model use a stochastic bag of words to answer a patient's question or help a patient. That's something that a health system should be able to configure and should be able to control. So with that architecture, we, of course, are seeing a changing landscape where the foundational models keep getting better and probably cheaper. And we welcome that. And we'll see this happening over and over again. This happened in the database industry as well. You know, you have proprietary databases, you had open source databases, you had databases that got cheaper and cheaper. And there was a vertical stack that got built on top of a database, right? So you had an accounting stack or a transportation stack, et cetera. So similarly, our architecture is LLM agnostic, love competition, love token costs coming down. They've already come down 100x. We think it'll come down by another 100x. But the problem still remains is solving that last mile of governance, of consistency of configuration. And that is the spot that Mila has innovated on. And when you ask the first question, what is it that we are working on? There's a lot of work to get done on that stack. And the area that we continue to keep focusing on is Mila should be able to help autonomously execute on tasks. So it's one thing to have a conversation, one thing to do a ChatGPT and have a back and forth LLM-like conversation. That's good. But what is more important for our customers is, as an example, I'll just give you an example right now where we have a large payer that we were working with, where we call in on patients that are Medicare Advantage. The payers would spend close to 3 months getting ready for this campaign to call them in for their first appointment, their annual wellness visit appointment, as they become part of the Medicare Advantage member. So they would take 3 months to prepare for this with a call center. There typically an outreach rate would be around 15 to 18%. And each outreach would cost them anywhere between $12 to $15. So Mila has implemented now with this large payer where we've reduced the time from 3 months to 6 weeks on startup. We have increased the response rate that they have from that 15 to 18% to over 50%. And we've reduced the cost that they've for per patient outreach of the $12 to $15 to one-fifth that. And all of this, where we have a conversation with the patient, but we execute on setting up their appointments with their physicians. So our focus really is around on that last mile structure of making it efficient for our customers and getting to those metrics that I just mentioned.
Great answer, Shailu. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for sharing those examples. Those would be really helpful for our listeners. So I think let's ask this question, which is on a lot of people's minds, which is that many CEOs and C-suite leaders are now feeling pressure to, you know, do something with AI, but they're unsure where to begin. So based on what you've seen across your customers, what is the biggest misconception that leaders have about deploying, you know, healthcare AI in healthcare and production today? And where would you recommend that they start to generate, you know, this meaningful value, this actual ROI that you mentioned, where, you know, the cost per patient has come down, the numbers are up, and the lead time has shortened? So what would be your advice for, you know, healthcare leaders out there who are looking to do something with AI and get started?
Yeah, I think the place where at least our work has been, for a lot of the healthcare leaders, the focus, at least the way I've seen success happen, is where it solves, I would say, a revenue problem, a patient intake problem. Today, just to simplify this problem, every provider in a health system has many thousand patients in their panel. If you're a GI doctor, you probably have 20,000 patients in your panel. If you're a primary care physician, you have 3,000 to 5,000 patients in your panel. Almost every one of them, if you go to them, they would say, I have 40 to 60% of the patients who haven't seen often enough, who haven't done, for example, the annual wellness visit. The problem exists in two places here. A, of course, the patients are not being seen. But B, there are metrics that each of these hospital systems have on achieving a certain rate for prevention through screening for colonoscopies, cancer, annual wellness visits, et cetera. And of course, each time the patient comes in, there is revenue associated with it, with the health system. We've seen a lot of success when we address a very simple problem in outreaching this group of patients that are not linked to healthcare, activate them, set up their appointment on a simple call and simple outreach. So this solves the metrics problem that many of the hospital systems have. B, patients need to be seen. They're not being seen and they need to be activated. And of course, it addresses pretty significantly revenue as well, which many health systems are interested in. And the place where I do see some folks getting caught up on is, what would patients think about, hey, an AI agent calling in on Rohit or Ritu? Mm-hmm. We've done this now a few million times. And our experience has been probably maybe 3 or 4% of the patients would probably say, I don't want to talk to an AI agent. And in which case, of course, there's a human in the loop. And I'll be honest, some of them hang up. But a vast, vast majority of the patients, over 90%, 95% range, are happy to hear from their doctor and learn that they can schedule a visit right now on a call. Mm-hmm. That is real change. And once they become part of the system, of course, all the goodness happens that I just mentioned. But then the follow-up rest and all the other steps that come behind it is again something that AI agent enables. That is the most powerful start and the most frictionless start that I've seen and implemented. And we've been at the heart of it, of course, at Mila.
Great. I think that's great advice. And, hopefully healthcare leaders will pick up on that. So thank you. Rohit, would you like to ask any closing questions?
Yeah, Shailu, any thoughts for the future or any closing remarks for the audience?
I would say the closing remarks are largely around, of course, there's a lot of noise and interest around AI. And I would say for the audience, watch for the conversational part of AI to move from conversation to execution, to actually getting work done. And that, of course, is super important for Mila, but so should it be for the rest of the healthcare leaders who are trying to implement AI into something effective as an effective tool for them. And it shouldn't be just an integration layer. People should not be an integration layer. So vast majority of the manual work that happens is largely this integration process of, for example, Rohit, your insurance may not be updated. So now it's a call to you to say, hey, did you change your insurance because I couldn't verify your insurance? These kind of integration work that largely is manual, my message is, please, it doesn't need to be manual. It doesn't need to be a person to actually call in and close these gaps. These are very simple gaps that we can close with AI. So let's start simple. Let's focus on execution. And we have the tools to make it happen. This isn't really a rocket science approach. Of course, we'll solve cancer at some point in time. But for now, these are very easy places to begin with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So great thought, Shailu. Thank you for joining the podcast as our guest. We are hoping that this will provoke a lot of thought in the listeners. So over to you, Ritu, for closing.
Yeah, thank you, Shailu. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you for, sharing your great insights. And I hope the listeners pick up on a lot of good information that you've shared here today. So thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for making the time.